ER101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER101 from the American College of Emergency Physicians. Well, April is Child Abuse Awareness Month, and it is, I mean, the thought of someone deliberately hurting a child, it just seems unimaginable to some of us. And the statistics are completely staggering. So I want to welcome my next guest, Mr. Adam Rosenberg. He is the head of the Baltimore Child Abuse Center, and he brings together his passion for community development and his background in nonprofits to kind of wage this war against child abuse. And he was one of the first male prosecutors in the domestic violence unit in Baltimore City State's Attorney's Office. So he's seen a lot of these cases, both domestic violence and child abuse, and we're lucky to have him on. So thank you, Mr. Rosenberg. We appreciate you being on, and welcome.
My pleasure, Lee. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, when I really started to look into the statistics, 5 kids every day die from child abuse or neglect. 1 in every 100 kids in the U.S., almost 1 in 100, have been abused. It's just, it's staggering that that many children are abused. I guess a year or two ago, 600,000 kids incidents had been reported of abuse or neglect.
Well, and here's what's astonishing, too, and the numbers are much lower than that. In terms of even sexual child abuse, the numbers have been 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be a victim of sexual child abuse before their 18th birthday.
Wow.
And to put some of that into perspective, for every child that you know who has been stricken with cancer, there are 167 children who've been sexually abused. For every child who has autism, there are 75 kids who've been sexually abused. The numbers are just so great, and there are people who are living amongst us, and we need to be able to do something to reverse that tide to prevent it from happening. And when we do that, we end up saving considerable time and money for our whole society.
Yeah, and it's so sad because if you think about, you know, autism and the advocacy behind autism and you know, what goes on with that or you know, cancer and all these programs for St. Jude's Hospital, which is critical and important. But if you think about it, we don't see a lot of advocacy. And I did a lot, too, in domestic violence as an ER doc. And you don't see a lot of that. Why do you think it is? They're like these silent victims. And there are people speaking up, but we don't see it as
well. They
much
are
as
silent victims. It's a conspiracy of silence, and it's very easy to be able to force these children into not talking because no one wants to believe that this happens, and no one wants to believe kids. So one of the things that we need to be doing, and I applaud you for bringing it up, is the fact that we're having the conversation, and we need to be able to accept the fact that this is an enormous problem that doesn't just occur on the campus of Penn State or within a church or within the Boy Scouts, but is happening in every neighborhood, regardless of socioeconomic status, and it is preventable through preventative actions, through talking about it, through making ourselves aware, and by minimizing risk. You know,
so
the numbers...
Go ahead.
For perspective, even in Maryland, we've done a lot about gun legislation, and there were 55 children last year in Maryland who were killed by gun violence. 55. Contrast that to the fact that there were 13,000 children who were victims of child abuse and neglect last year.
Wow.
It's overwhelming, and we're just not talking about it. We need to.
Yeah, no, it's very important. And you say, I mean, it could happen anywhere, but are there, what are some of the at-risk things that you might see where children, you know, might be at risk that could, you know, cue in a teacher or, you know, even a neighbor or something?
You know, there's no great checklist of these are the signs and therefore the kid's been abused. It really is, we know who our children are, and when there's been a demonstrable change in their behavior or their attitude, their reaction to certain adults or certain older children, people who are watching them, it should cue us in that something's going on. Frankly, the number one sign we miss is when the kid tells us that they've been a victim of abuse, and we don't do anything about it. Many of us are mandated reporters, and we're required to pick up the phone and to dial 911 or Child Protective Services and to report the abuse. But unfortunately, not enough people do that. Or they tell their supervisor and they think it's going to be handled internally, and in the end, nothing happens. And we have to stand by these kids when we have reason to believe abuse has occurred.
Yeah, and so often, you know, we tell our kids, and in the news, you know, these abductions make the news all the time. But often these kids are victims of people that they know, and they aren't being abducted, right? I mean, it's happening in their home.
Yeah, 90% of children who have been abused have been abused by someone that they know, that it's not stranger danger. And although it's important to talk about and get your kids, you know, understanding that, it's the people who that we leave to watch our children. So, you know, some of the things that we tell folks is that, you know, if there's someone who likes your kids more than you like your kids, it perhaps gives you reason to question their motive.
That's a good point. That's a very interesting point.
Yeah. You know, that we should ask tough questions. Now, before we let our kids have sleepovers at people's houses or go, you know, on road trips out of state or, you know, be with a certain coach, we want to say, well, who's going to be with my children? And who else is going to be in the house? And, you know, are there any weapons in the house? You know, will people be drinking? I mean, these are the things that we want to know. And we're embarrassed to ask these questions because we're afraid of offending. And yet, if we're not going to stand up for our own children, who will?
Right, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about what the Baltimore Child, you know, what your center is doing today,
Child Abuse Center, for 25 years now has been operating as a child advocacy center, a nationally accredited program that provides crisis response for anyone who has been a victim of child sex abuse in Baltimore City. And we see about 1,000 kids a year. So.
Wow.
For those kids, we're a gateway for healing and justice. We can get some quick answers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as well as provide medical and mental health services. When we looked at the numbers of children that we've seen, and we've seen over 23,000 children over the last quarter century, we realized that we can be doing something better. And one of the things that we've been doing then is going out and working with youth-serving organizations, such as churches and schools and summer camps, and helping them devise their programs so that they can minimize the risk of an incident happening. No one can survive the cost of an incident like what happened at Penn State. So how do we make sure that your kid's school and your kid's summer camp doesn't make a mistake in failing to report or having a staff member decide what their position is? I mean, there's a lot of, we've heard in the news here in Maryland, a number of teachers who found themselves having sex with their students. And I don't know whether they're pedophiles or not, but I do know this, it violates the law, and it's avoidable if they just figure out the time and place that they are at and that they shouldn't be doing it. And through education, saying, look, by doing these things, it gives rise to the possibility that somebody can accuse you of sexual abuse or accuse you of physical abuse. And here are the steps that you can take to avoid it. And some of it's just common sense thinking.
Yeah, it's true. And it is such an important thing. I mean, the children are our future. And you saw Oprah once had that show where she had so many men on that were abused and many of them didn't even come forward until much later because of the stigma associated with it. You know, even as an adult, and it's come into the forefront with what's going on with the Catholic Church today,
right.
And the changeover of the papacy.
And so what's great about those incidents, and I'll use a word like great, is it brings it to the public discussion, and that it can occur on multiple levels, but then it calls upon us as concerned citizens and parents to then do something about it. And encourage people to whether they go to our website at BaltimoreChildAbuseCenter.org and learn how they can prevent abuse, or whether they go find a local resource in their community. But you've got to have the tools, and you've got to have a plan to be prepared.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Adam Rosenberg. We appreciate it.